check. I have to get used to it because there's no mic. I can't hear myself. I just got the mic, no speakers. But we're going to meet now with men here and deal with it. There's a lot more notes we had there that we could get to. That's really good. But I was never going to be able to finish all this anyway. But there are some things I want to hit. Before I get started here, the first opportunity I want to give, like I said, is for this seminar to be for you all. So I want to take some questions. If we end up taking questions for the whole hour, we'll deal with questions. If not, I got some things we can deal with on role of a man and some other areas that's kind of general. They don't have to be specifically for a single person. But I want to take questions. So you ask the question if you have one that you want to ask in here that you want to deal with the men. If you need us to close the door and it's of a personal nature, we'll close the door. You know, we won't be repeating things. People don't know your names or anything. So let's just talk. Does anybody have any questions that they want to bring up? Yes.
Biggest question with me is money.
Mm-hmm. A question with money. Okay, what is the question with money?
Now, when do you know you have enough? When do you know you have enough money to marry?
Okay.
Sometimes in the way of society, the more you get, the more you need.
Okay, the question is, when do you have enough money to know you can get married? A lot of that's going to be answered by who you're marrying. You know, if you marry a girl that want a whole stack of money, then you pretty much know it ain't time to marry her. If I want to marry her, I better go get me some more education or go get me a better job. So as a man, accepting the role and obligation of a man to be the provider, part of that question is answered by what kind of woman do you want to marry. Now, if you say yourself, I'm not even dating anybody right now, nothing like that. Well, ask yourself, what kind of girl do you want to date? How do you want it to be? What socioeconomic status does she come by? Not good, bad. Rich people aren't better than poor people. Poor people aren't worse than rich people. But I want a girl who doesn't want everything out of life. I want a girl who doesn't love all the stuff and all the money because I don't want to go out and do all that. I'm making, you know, $40,000 a year, $50,000 a year, $20,000 a year, whatever. This is the kind of lifestyle I can provide. That's the only kind of girl I'm going to marry, and I'm happy with that kind of girl. Well, at that point, when you are able to save money and accumulate money, and you've sat down and figured out a budget on how much having a wife would add, whether you have to go ask your father, or whether you ask other married men, or whether you need to go to the library and get some books on budgeting, they would tell you, family of four, X amount of dollars, family of three, X amount of dollars. Definitely, till you check that out, you shouldn't marry anybody, because the number one role of a man next to serving God is to be a provider. And brothers get married all the time, don't have no budget, no idea, no plan. They don't even know if they can pay for it. They don't even know if she's high maintenance and need a lot of money. But they just say, she makes me feel good. We've been dating long enough. She pressured me. Her dad pressured me. We getting married. And hadn't even thought about it. And then you get married and you find out we don't make enough money. She has to work. Then kids come along. She say she don't want to work. And she can say that. She can say, I'm coming home. You're the provider. I'm coming home. And all you can say is, well, make sure the kitchen clean, make sure the clothes wash, make sure that. But you can't say you have to work. You can't say that. You're the provider. You're supposed to be paying the bills. Now, you think through all that. And if it's a point where, look, I want a modest girl who is not stuck up on a bunch of money. I have accumulated some money myself. So obviously I make more than Kim and I need, and I have the wisdom not to spend all I make. I have whatever you think, $5,000, $10,000, whatever. I have secured a place where we can live, whether you rent an apartment or whether you have a home. You're not in mama's house still talking about how do you know I have enough money, you know, because I am a strong advocate that you should get out. Ain't nothing wrong with being mama because, you know, I stayed with my mom and them all winter. I went to Bible school. I think I was 20, 24. And it wasn't no big deal because what did I need to run out and get an apartment for? I wasn't getting married. Hal and I were dating when we get married then. Now, I almost made a mistake going straight from there to there. That's when Pastor Butler suggests we do the other. But I do suggest it's good to at least be out of the house for a year because you do want to see what it's like and to learn the food doesn't magically appear. Because when you're kids, it's easy to think, you know, we don't consciously think about all, just all our life. Remember, we started as knowing nothing and everything was always there. We don't think provider. We think provisions have been made. And we'll say, God, El Shaddai, I provide. But he provides through you working and through you doing things. But this woman whose father has always provided for her or mother has always provided for her now is looking to you to provide for her. She's looking to you to be El Shaddai. Not God yourself, but to be her provider on this earth. And God is going to provide for her through you. So she's looking for God to provide through you. The question is, are you able to provide for her? If you don't have money saved now and you're a man, you should stay single until you save up some money. I'm not going to put a dollar amount on it. I'm going to say you have to have the discipline of saving. You have to have saved some. If you haven't saved any, most brothers like me, we ain't saved now. I didn't have any saved, not to talk about, you know, a couple hundred dollars, but I didn't have anything substantially saved. Helen came with money. She had a lot more. I didn't have to live off her money because I was already living when she came, and I was making enough that the expenses she added to us when we got married wasn't going to be a problem. Of course, with her having a professional job and me working in a jewelry store, she brought a whole lot more income because she was making 20-something, you know, high 20s, and I'm making maybe 18 at the time. So she was making money. And when I married her, that was not an issue, but just the same, we did it. And I will actually tell you, I made a mistake because I did something I was taught not to do, and I did it anyway. Pastor Butler said, don't ever live on two incomes because your wife can always come home. Well, Pastor Cook, why should we live below our standards if we're making money? You making 18, 20, she making 28, 30. Why wouldn't we live up to that? The reason is, if she comes home and your expenses are on your liabilities, monthly expenses are up to that level, you now need her to work or you're going to go get a second job if she comes home. And if you're married, unless something's wrong with the two of you, you never know when baby's going to come along. And women have a tendency when babies come along to want to come home, even if it's just for a little while, they want to come home and they'll get mad at you if they can't come home. And they have a right to come home. Nothing's wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a woman wanting to raise her own kids, not a daycare. There's nothing wrong with that. I didn't have all that set up right. It caused some pressure and some friction between me and the wife because I did not listen when the pastor told me, don't live on two incomes. I'm like, look, mine is so small, I can pay for, and we live modestly, but we got all this extra money. What are we going to do with laying around? We're not going to hurt to spend it, and it's not hurt to spend it, but we spent it putting down payments, buying stuff that had monthly notes that then got to where I couldn't pay it on my salary. So then it obligates it to work. If we spent it and spent cash on it, it's no big deal because it didn't create a liability as long as you can still work. Smarter thing would have been you spend some to get your living, but you never live on her paycheck. You say, look, if all this money's coming in, let's pretend like it's extra money and go buy some land. Let's put in some stock until it's producing interest, and then maybe both of you can quit working one day. Take that extra money. If you're not having any extra money now, you got to at least have the minimum and know what it costs to provide for a wife. And always, if you and hers bodies are both working and you have kids, also be able to provide for a child. And those figures are available. You can ask married men. You can look in you can go and ask financial advisors. You can look in the library. But you are not ready to get married if you can't fulfill that number one responsibility of providing. And you can figure out whether you can provide. Some men shouldn't even be dating, because dating leads to marriage. And if you're dating the same girl on a recurrent basis, that's dating, and that's dating that's leading to marriage. She's expecting you'll get her there someday. She's got you in line going down the trail, and you following her down the trail, and you need to look and say, hey, I'm not ready to get married. I don't want to be a problem in anybody's life. Because you shouldn't date somebody and say, oh, my goal is I'm going to date her for 10 years, and I'm going to get married. Because most girls out there, they got in the back of their mind, they're going to be old maids and all this. They ain't going to want to date you 10 years. Your father ain't going to date you, and our culture doesn't allow dating 10 years. They're going to say something's wrong. She's going to start feeling like you're using her. Her friends going to say using her because everybody else date 1-2 years, two months and get married. So when you, because Helen and I date 5 years and people looking at us, when are you going to get married? When we announced that we were getting married, people thought we were married. And then they accused us of living in sin. Just because they know you had it. You had church together all the time. We used to take Helen's sister's daughter to church with us, and we were young 20s. The daughter was like a newborn, so they assumed she was our child. We were at that age. Then we said we're getting married. They thought we were married. Then they said, well, they must have been living in sin. We don't have a baby. We don't have sex. None of that. But that's what it looked like to them. It looked like that because we were together so long. And that's what people expect. If they see you together over a couple of years, they swear you're married. Because they think all healthy people are. But we just didn't. So don't be out dating until you decide that you're ready to get on the train towards marriage. Because dating is a process that leads to marriage. Dating is also a process of elimination. You need to see if you're even qualified for the game before you get in the game. If you go out with different girls at different times and no girl twice, there's a certain allowance in that because you might be trying to fill out the kind of person you like. what kind of person you like, but still be saving up the money because you might find one you like, then not get ready in time. And I'm a teacher, leave him. If he ain't right, leave him. Because she should, because you don't want to be unhappy. She doesn't want to be unhappy. But I guarantee you that stuff people call love, which is lust, is not going to keep them happy through the early days of marriage once the honeymoon's over with if they really don't have solid stuff. There's nobody that I know of who got married unhappily. But there's very few people you know of who are happily married. It's a challenge. I've been married 17 and a half years, going on 18. Floyd's been married less, and he's probably just coming into the 3 years. He's saying it's real. Am I lying to anybody, Floyd? And he's got a beautiful wife. She's a wonderful woman. My wife is beautiful. Floyd is nice. I'm nice. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with all the people ready for marriage, and do they have the spiritual maturity to get along with one another? Work on yourself in God. Build yourself up. You are the provider. Get the money. I appreciate brothers that say, you know what? I'd like to be really getting close to a girl right now, but I just don't have the money. I got the money to take her out. I got the money to buy her baubles, but I don't have the money right now saved to really be considered married. So we're going to date a while because I don't have the money to consider marriage. But I want to marry this girl, so I'm working on my finances. I'm getting my, and genuinely, from 1 month to the next, you see it increasing. A brother may be getting out of debt. You see that. Or he may be rising his savings. You see that. To when he asked the girl, look, baby, I got nothing, and I want you to come with me and have nothing with me for the rest of our lives. Or a promise or something. I teach the women, look at what he's got. Promises are good. But promises aren't always kept. If he's got a savings but not a lot, there's a good idea over time is going to increase because he was able to use time to do this. If he's got nothing, saying, but I'm going to start saving, baby. As soon as we get married, I'm going to start saving. See, I really ain't saved because I ain't need to. It was just me and myself. You know, I ain't need to, but I'm smart enough to know I'm going to save. If he don't show you the savings account and the fact he has the ability to save, don't believe it. No more than her telling you stuff and ain't showing it to you. Don't believe it. No, I'm really nice. I'm just like this sometime at work. If she evil at work, she's going to be evil at house for you. She fighting and fussing with her boss, she's going to fight and fuss with you having authority in the household. If you see her rebel against her dad, she's going to rebel against you because she's rebellious. And you don't want that, brothers. You don't want that. Yes? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and let you have this on tape. That way it won't be just blank sound.
So it'd be a good idea. I took all savings and all investing. I'm investing in a small business that I'm doing now. It'd be best to wait until my business build up to decide to get married then.
If your business is of a speculative nature, like there's a high turnover, there's a high probability of may, if it's of that nature, you should wait, because a girl who's smart, unless she really doesn't care that much about money and provision, which is very few women, she generally would look and say, look, well, let me let you get on your way. And that doesn't mean you can't start dating, because you said, OK, I feel I'm ready to get married. I want to get married, but I do have a business venture I'm doing. And you date a girl and she's going to eventually ask you what you're doing. Well, I got a business venture. I'm working on it. But she should wait to see some proof of the pudding before she really commit to you. And you should want to have some before you ask her to commit to you. You don't want to ask a girl to come have nothing with me and we'll live on love, because that ain't going to work. That this ain't love. First of all, I'll be trying to take some girl from her father or from her care to bring her into nothing. That's not love. I didn't have the greatest love I should have had when I married Miss Cook. Had a few dollars in the bank, had a plan, but I did not have what I would have liked to have had and should have had to bring a wife in. She came with money, so it never was a hiccup or a problem, but I shouldn't be counting on that. Shouldn't be counting on it. I was not counting on it. I just wasn't thinking about it. Wasn't mature enough to think about it. But in retrospect, definitely you should have a little something. We're not going to live on love that counterfeit we're giving is love. We want to be prayer. If you want your wife to respect you, and every man in this room now, you want your wife to respect you. I don't care if you think you're big and bad and you don't care. Trust me, when you get married, you could be as self-confident as I am, and you just, everything's fine, not a problem. But if your wife starts disrespecting you, it hurts your ego. It goes straight. If she start communicating to you, you don't make enough money, you don't provide for me well, you're going to have problems with that. It's within all men, because you're questioning the very core of our manhood, our ability to provide. And the only thing more questionable than that to hurt a man is his ability to perform. If you know what I mean, you know, or you just, brother, you can't rise to the occasion here. But I'm going to get sad. It's going to bother him because that's his manhood, the ability to recreate. And then right after that, the ability to provide. And a smart woman never challenges those issues. But if you set her up, well, she has no choice but to let you know, look, you don't make enough money. I'm tired of starving. That's going to affect you. So don't even put yourself in that situation. Have some stuff laid out. I tell the brothers also, be a Christian man who really understands your role as a man. Understand your role. And what I mean by that is understand the extents and limitations of your authority as a man. That way you won't be a dictator or a tyrant in the house, but you also won't be a wimp. Because too many of us are wimps. And when I say wimps, I'm not talking about the worldly kind where you know, you're a wuss, you're a sissy. Not that. I'm talking about from the biblical definition, being a wimp, which means we won't stand up. I have a book I read that's really good called Men Who Won't Lead and Women Who Won't Follow. And that's a big problem. You have a lot of women that won't submit to the authority of men, and you have a lot of men that won't step up to the plate. Miss Cook would appreciate me being a little more manly. And nothing to do with feminine sexuality or nothing like that, but just she's like most women who I counsel. They're women. They're wonderful. They're precious. God made them that way. They want the security. They want the money. They want these kind of things. But they may want a house, a car, a boat, a plane. Just like you might want a house, a car, a boat, a plane. But as the man, you're supposed to be wanting to tell yourself first no, then tell your wife no. Although your wife may say, look, you know, we need to have this. It's time we have this. Somebody else has this. We should have this. And then if you think it's not in your budget plan for financial success, you say no anyway. Although it may make your wife very mad. What she would do is when she learns that you are not going to put her or you or her in a situation that's compromising financially, when she learns that you won't allow that, she would say, thank God for this man I've got. Because there's something about men and women, I tell you, brothers, is a woman will try to control you with all the princess stuff and the crying and the tears and pouting about you not giving her way and saying you're a bad man or whatever. She'll try and control you. But if you let her control you as the years go by, then she will disrespect you because you're a spineless jellyfish. And that's weird because it's kind of crazy. I was like, if you want me to be the man, just move out the way and let me be the man. That's what you think all women would do. Move out the way and let me be the man. But no, because of the women's live thing in them, they will rise up and challenge you. And if you let them dominate you, then they would disrespect you. The only way they're going to respect you is for you to study the word and have the real godly limit to your authority. Don't overstep it, but don't understep it either. Don't let her step in your area. I provide for the house. I don't mean don't let her get a job if she wants to work, but I mean you make sure you can always say to her, no, I make enough for us to be taken care of. We may not live at the same standard, but you will not starve. I do provide. And you need that for your own ego, to know that you do provide for the family. It's a tough. My wife made more money than us, than I did most of our marriage. It wasn't until about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and she quit working, I think, 6 or 7 years ago. But it wasn't until, I think, the year before that, we made, she made more then, too. Matter of fact, she made more all the years we were married up until she quit working, and then I was the only one working. She made more money. And see, that didn't bother my ego because I'm intact with my ego. But I did feel that feeling. I want to be close. I want to make as much as her. At least I want to be there. I felt that, but I dealt with it. But it wasn't a good feeling, brothers. Even though Helen never threw that in my face. She's a wonderful, wise person. She never hurt me by throwing that up in my face during those days, ever. But that could have really hurt a brother, you know, because it's like if she just looked and say, look, I make the money. Which one of you all would like that? And it'd be true. You'd be like, dang, attacking a brother right at the heart of the issue. She never did that. And I thank God for her because she was smart enough to know we would have problems with that. And whatever she was trying to get from me, that wasn't going to get it. I might have been acting crazy then. I don't know how spiritual I would have been able to handle that. But you know what I'm saying? Brothers got his limits. Everybody got their limits. But you're going to want to provide. You're going to want to be able to have enough money that you can comfortably provide and make sure you get a woman to match the money you have. So I can't say how much money you need to have, but you need to have more than you need to live on, and you need to know what it's going to cost when she comes in the budget plus one child. That way you know you can do it. Don't ask a woman to come suffer with me together and live on love. Don't do that. Not time to get married if that's in question. Your business, you know, you could probably start dating and all, but it depends on how much time it's going to take, too, because women take time. Relationships take time. You'd probably be smarter putting your time and your money and your interest into your business and get it kicked off the ground because a lot of women don't want to go through that growth period. Yes.
Let me give you the mic.
Okay, my question is, as a young man who's looking to date, I heard you say that you should date your best friend, but I also heard you say that, you know, if she doesn't push your buttons, then, you know, don't bother. My question as a young man is most of the women that I met that are attractive, just they aren't there spiritually. But But the ones that I am attracted to have a taste for the words. Well, I'm not attracted to have a taste for the words, so on and so forth. I'm just not attracted to them, you know? So what do you suggest as a man of God? What do you suggest I do in a situation like that?
One thing you're going to find is priorities. I'm a little older than you, and I was like, man, you were the first person I looked at who was a grown man, and I said, I'm old enough to be his father. And I realized I was old, so you made me realize I was old. It's like a year or so ago, I'm talking to him, and I told Helen, I'm old enough to be Jelani's father. He's a grown man. I said, Dad, we're old now, baby, we're old. But Jelani, I said before, there's more out there you need to pink slip than you keep. Now, what I find is a lot of people's parameter of marriage and what's going to make a happy marriage is too narrow. When you say, I don't like this girl, she doesn't ring my bell. When you get older, different things ring your bell. Trust me. Now, I would never tell anybody to marry a girl they think is ugly, atrocious, trollish, scantless, you know, nobody, because you need to have all the types of love before you get married. You need to have eros, which is erotic love. You need to have storge, which is a affectionate love. You need to have phileo, which is a friendship love. And you need to have agape, which is unconditional love. You need to have them all to have a good relationship. But what you like right now is totally determined by you or influences around you. There's somebody who's looking at that girl and she's fine to them. Now, the first thing I ask is, why do I think that girl doesn't look good? Not just the fact she doesn't ring my bell, because whether a girl rings your bell or not is based on your maturity and your perspective. But I do know you like what you like when you like it and you don't like. But because there's so few people out there, I find that as people mature, they say, you know what? This girl is really beautiful because she's not ugly, but I was looking for the prom queen. She's not the prom queen. And then there's only a few prom queens, and most of them are Miss Goldilocks. They are actually vain because they put their whole life, not all of them, but a lot of them put their whole life on their looks. They were the prettiest girl in school, so everybody started telling them, you're such a beautiful girl. You should be in a beauty pageant. And they learn, they're conditioned by people around them to become the prom queen, but then they learn that their only value, the only thing people compliment on is how good they look. We make them vain. The people around them make them vain. The parents make them vain. The teachers, oh, she's such a cute girl. So she started thinking her only value is cute. Now, that's who we all looking for. The girl that looks good on her arm, usually that girl is not the one you should marry, because there's problems there. But still, that's what we're looking for. Now, as you mature and get older, you say, you know what I'm looking for? I'm not looking for anybody who's ugly to me, but I redefine where beauty's really at. I want somebody who's peaceful and quiet, of a meek spirit. Somebody who can help me in life. Somebody can bring something to the table. And as you begin to mature, your definition of beauty matures. Whatever girl looks like is going to change. And it's going to go in the wrong direction. A girl 30 is not going to look tight as 19. 40 ain't going to look tight as 19. 50 ain't going to look tight as 19. And 50 ain't going to look as good as 30. So women take, like the Bible said, the outward man is perishing day by day. So is the outward woman. Brother get older, he get more money. He look more attractive to women. Women get older, they look less attractive. They're never going to look like a 19-year-old again. So don't put too much stock in the perfect look, because that will pass. Get somebody who looks good to you, don't get me wrong, but make sure some of these beauty queens that we see, who we say aren't the marrying kind anyway, I'm talking about saved, because let's not even be looking in the, let's not even throw our hook over in a bowl of unsaved women, because you're going to find all kinds of stuff over there you wish you had. And the Bible says, don't be enticed or lust for the evil one, because if you lust for that, they are going to dress more tantalizing. They are going to look more desirable. Why? Because as long as we're carnal and that's what we like, that's what's there. When you become spiritual, a spiritual woman who looks absolutely fine, I'm not talking about somebody ugly, but she may be more of a, not homely, but more of a subtle look. She doesn't tantalize you physically. And we think that's love. But girls in the world are always more tantalizing. Pretty much always. That don't mean, I've seen some fine sisters, but if I took and set them up to maybe a Beyonce or somebody, this sister can have it just like Beyonce, but she ain't dressed like Beyonce. Beyonce is going to be the one in the natural I want. And this girl may have God, have all that, but something, I think Beyonce is more beautiful. Why? Because my definition of beauty. really, I shouldn't even be looking in that pond. I should be looking among saved women only and say, now, who's a good-looking saved woman? And I guarantee you all of them aren't ugly. Now, West Palm Beach, I grew up in Detroit. 2.5 million black people to choose from. Big pond. Big pond. And as I've come down here, I have sympathized as not as many people. If you're a minority and you want to marry in the same race, I don't believe nothing like that is required, but most people do because you have all kinds of problems with your parents if you don't. So they just make it easy. If I find somebody else of another color, I marry them. I don't care, but normally people marry within their race. But it's not as many black people here. And I've noticed just coming here is not as much of selection. There are beautiful women here. There are wonderful women. There's pretty women. There's women that's not as attractive. Same thing as in Detroit, but you had a much bigger pool to choose from. We've had several people, some girls, and I don't advise them. I'm not trying to throw people out, but I do understand. A couple of ladies said, look, the pond just ain't big enough at Your Faith. I'm trying to get married. There's some nice guys here, but they're either dating somebody or they're not ready to be dated. I'm going to another church to find me a man. I never fought a girl like that. One of them said, I'm getting out of South Florida. I'm going all the way to Georgia to find a man. She'd go hook up with Creflo, big church, you know, 15,000 people. I said, I'm saying, brother, it's like going up to Detroit. You're getting in a bigger pond. I'm not going to argue that if you want to get married and that so forth. Now, I believe most, since men can be a little spiritually more mature than women, you can actually find them around here. But I do understand we're not big yet. So I understand this is not a big fishing pool. I understand that when people say that. I understand I'm not calling them being immature because, you know, if that's what you want, it ain't on our menu. You got to do a bigger menu. But do have a mature definition of what beauty is. Don't get stuck on the other thing because a lot of times the definition you have of beauty is the one I have. I want her to have perfect skin and I want her to be like this and to be like that and be like the other when all that has nothing to do with godliness. We're supposed to say, number one, is I want her not just saved, I want to see beautiful character. I'm not even going to be attracted to a girl that has bad character. I want to see that because you know what? All of us know some people who we like. We may not want marrying because we claim they're not pretty enough, but we really like them. And what's going to make marriage sweet and what's going to make it good is being with somebody you really like. I'm telling you, that's right. All the beauty is fleeting. They tell the women, God tells the women, let it not be the outward adorning of hair and the plaiting of hair and all these things, but let it be the peaceful, quiet spirit. Why? Because he said, you ain't going to have all that, baby. That ain't going to last. If you let that slide above a strong Christian thing, because, you know, somebody said, well, you know, I like a girl looking a certain way, but she don't, you know, I like a certain color skin, but don't have to be that color. I like her otherwise. We need to say, I like a woman spiritual born again. She might not be the same look as so-and-so, but I like her otherwise. See, we don't put that on that. We don't put how much a Christian character is on top of everything. We need to say, number one, she has got to be somebody that knows her role as a woman in God. Somebody who is secure. Somebody who can lift me up and encourage me. Not hold me up because I ain't going to be that weak to fall all the way down, but to lift me up and help me go further. Somebody who can be there. You look at all that, I guarantee you there's girls who are what you would call okay when you first look at them, then start looking fine all of a sudden. Because it's something about being able to communicate on a spiritual, emotional level with another human being of the opposite sex. Now, the reason we have these friends that we don't think romantically about, because Helen has thought back, and I've thought back, and we've all discussed, oh, if we knew what we knew now, we're here, David. We all discussed if we knew what we knew now, we'd do things differently. We all have discussed that. Almost every married person I've talked to, they say, well, Pastor, if I knew now, I knew things. Does that mean you're sorry for you married? No, that's mean you regret it. No, that just means if you knew what you knew now, then you do differently. Because Helen probably would have married somebody a little more like her. I'm a caloric sanguine. She's a melancholy phlegmatic. Those are contrasting personalities. There's a lot of other stuff we have in common, but those are contrasting personalities. And we're married and we're going to stay married and we'll stay married happily. But we have had challenges recurring further apart as years go by and we mature more. But we've had challenges occurring because of the differences in our personalities. I don't regret I married her. She don't regret married me. But when we say if we knew we knew now we'd done differently, we'll say it. I love you enough that I don't want you to go through all the adjustment with me. And I love you enough that I want to go through adjustment. We can love each other and still not marry. Just like all those other women I loved and didn't marry. What you should look for is the one who's more like you. The one who's more like you. And then you look at all that beauty there and you look and say, is this girl really ugly? She's not ugly, but she's not what someone else's opinion told me looks good. And I'm not talking about anybody you obviously look at and say is not attractive. I'm not talking about that because I would not tell anybody to marry somebody they think is unattractive. But there's girls I know in high school now who I didn't think they were all that. I was chasing this other girl. But now I stop and think. I say, how did I overlook her? Nothing was wrong with her. She was pretty. She just, I put them together and I put through the worldly vision of who's prettier. And I went after the pretty one and I downplayed the one that was more Christian to go out with the one that was less Christian because she was prettier. And really, if I was going to date one of those girls, I definitely should date the other one because she wasn't ugly. I never thought she was ugly. I just thought this one was prettier. So analyze of the girls you're talking about who like you. And oh, you got another mic. Good. Analyze those girls, the ones you talking about. What is it that compares them to the other one who you're saying, I really like this girl? Which one is more spiritual? If the one who you think is not as attractive but is nice looking is actually tremendously more spiritual, you have to ask yourself, why would I want to be with the other one? Why would I want to give up any spirituality just for a little bit of look that's going to be gone in 30 years? And depending on how you pay for and how you take care of her, you can make that other one look pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Money make Oprah look good. Oprah minus money look like color purple. But Oprah with money was looking good. You know, money makes a lot of people look good because you dress them up, you do those things. And if you got a good girl to work with and some basics and you're going to love her and dress your wife up, she'll be fine. If it comes down between the choice of spiritual and non-spiritual. You really should marry your best friend of opposite sex, and you need to be attracted to them. But obviously, if they're your friend, you're attracted to them already. It's just we compare physical things. And like I said, if you look at her and say, I would never want to make love to this woman, she is atrocious, that's totally different from saying, well, you know, but I like this other girl better. That means I could love her. I could obviously love her. That's why she's your friend. I could love her and could switch the other way. But right now, I'm not letting it go that way because I want blue eyes, blonde hair. I want a brown eyes, blue eyes. I want a girl to wear braids. I want all this superficial stuff is going to change anyway. Be careful about making your commitment on that. But I do realize what you're saying about a small pond to fish in. So you may have a limited selection, but never settle. If you don't feel it's somebody you want to date, don't date them. But do question what your definition of beauty is and make sure his beauty is based on something that's going to last, not something that's going to fade with age. Because a lot of people make that decision for the short run, looking good on my arm, and then they don't get along, they fight, and they either get divorced or the girl begins to get old and wear out anyway. And he was just so excited by the way she looked on his arm. It just ain't worth it. It doesn't last. My wife's still beautiful. Matter of fact, she's more beautiful now than me than when we got married because we're keeping the love going with it. If we don't let the love go with it and we got married on the look, then I would see her look changing. I would see her skin, I don't know, whatever it was before, I would see it changing. But I don't even notice that because to me, I think Helen's more spiritual now than ever that I've known her. And so she has only gotten more beautiful to me. She's only gotten more beautiful than me. We have challenges, but I don't have any desire to leave my wife or to get away from my wife. I feel I made a good pick. I'm happy with her. If I knew what I knew now, I'd have done things differently so I wouldn't have to put her through the stress of having to deal with my personality all through those years. But I think she's beautiful. But I married her based on inside and outside. And I wish I was more spiritual to say there wasn't no outside really that much based in it because to me, she's beautiful then. But she's still beautiful to me because it's just all gone up. And when she's 60 years old, she's going to be beautiful to me because we our relationship is beyond that. She, to me, she's going to look beautiful at 60. I'm not going to look at a 19-year-old and say, look, that's another man's thing. That's what I look at now. I'm old enough now that I look at ages of women as belonging to those men, those ages. You know, because otherwise you can be a 43-year-old man still desiring a 19-year-old. And that's like desiring your daughter. You know, but we don't think of it like that if you don't put those lines there. I look and I say, I had my age. My high school 4-year span of the girl, or you can say 8 years, 4 years ahead of you, 4 years behind you. I had my age. And the women who I had to choose from primarily was in that age. And I had my time. I don't go down trying to get a 16-year-old, trying to get a 15-year-old or a 19-year-old. Some guys never let it go. I do not compare my wife to a 19-year-old. Why would I compare her to that? That woman belongs to another age. I'm married now. She belongs to somebody else. I'm not going to do that. It's not going to make you happy. All it's going to do is discourage you because your 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old wife is not going to look like a 19-year-old. She's not going to have the same body. Even if she keeps it as good as Helen's look, it won't be a 19-year-old body. You see what I'm saying? That's just bad thinking. But whoever you marry or whomever you marry, they will change on the outside. Don't put too much in that because that's fleeting. Long as the girl is not ugly to you and married now, Don't automatically pink slipper off as not being there. Look at the other stuff and say, how good do we really get along? Can we sit and talk endlessly for hours about nothing? Do we really enjoy each other's company? Because really what you really want in life is a soulmate. You want somebody who thinks like you. Mind, will, and emotions. Somebody has a heart about God like you. And be careful about taking them girls that don't quite have God, but they look like goddesses. Be careful about them, because that's a lot of times Goldilocks and vanity. Be very careful about that kind of stuff. Too many men make that choice, and they are sorry. And I see them in counseling. They're sorry, but the girl was fine. She made his liver quiver, but he just wasn't ascertaining any spirituality. He just said she okay. But I'm telling you, guys, you're single. You don't understand. Just take my word for it. That beauty thing just ain't all that. It ain't. You should have some attractiveness for her. Don't get me wrong. But don't lead her out, because when you first look at her, see her inside, the real her, before you see her outside, which is going subject to change. With a little bit of money, you can make it the way you want it for the most part. You know, if you got good material to work with, you can build upon it. Give the girl a break, because there's a lot of beautiful Christian women and a lot of handsome Christian men who sit right next to each other every day in church looking for somebody to marry, when the people they should marry are right there next to them. But they're each looking for something the world has put up and said, this is what you want. This is what you want right here. That's what you want. I'm waiting for this. Well, she's spiritually compatible. Yeah, yeah, but what you waiting for? I'm waiting for this. I want her spiritual compatibility, but I want the look of the, I want her to ring my bell. Well, she should ring your bell, but be careful about, you know, do you really want a spiritual woman, or you really want your bell rung? Which one is it? Be careful so you know which one it really is. Somebody else had a question? Did you want to specify on that some more? A little more on it? Want me to elaborate a little more or specify a little better? Because I know you're in a small pond, so I understand that. Yeah, I understand that. Is it on? Yeah, flip it up.
Mm-hmm. It has, again, been my experience with women that, you know, I'll go and I'll make conversation with them, and this is who I am. Mm-hmm. This is who I am. I'm always going to speak the word, because that's what I do. I study, I learn, and it's so big a part of me that I can't help it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you. You know?
Mm-hmm. You don't have to change for anybody. Mm-hmm.
But it's been my experience with the women, unfortunately, the ones that I found attractive, that they just...
They ain't there with the word.
No, it's...
Well,
it's,
you got to realize, too, Jelani, that not every church is a word church. And the word changes people. Education changes people. The more word a person gets, the quicker they grow spiritually, and the further they get away from most other church people. Because the problem is, most Christians don't grow beyond the day they get saved. They get saved and they know totally how to get saved. You confess Jesus Lord. Tell me something about the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts? What spiritual gifts? Tell me something about faith. How does faith come? You just have it. No, faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. You know that around here. Average church don't know that. If you go to a church that teaches the word, and most churches don't teach the word, it's good for men, because you'll get women generally a little bit behind you so they can respect your spiritual authority if they love God and don't mind growing in the word. Bad for the women around here, because they end up being spiritually mature than a lot of other men at some of the other churches. Not all of them, just some of them. Because then they have to get that guy up before they can marry him. And they have to try and get him to come here, or they have to try and get him to study on his own. They have to try and get him to do what he's supposed to do, because nobody's told him what he's supposed to do. Rephrase that second part of the question again. You're making a comment there. Mm-hmm. The challenge.
I'm just disappointed with the quality of women, and I mean, again, the ones that are interested
to be strong,
in the things of God. Mm-hmm. Just I look at her, or I look at them, and I go, well, can I be attracted to her? And
you know, I'm gonna tell you something else too. Just came to mind when you said that. That's why I wanted to bring it back up, because I had a thought and I dropped it. Is that God will send you across the path, or the girl across your path, when you're ready for marriage. And what I mean by that is, I know you got a lot of things as a young man that you're still trying to find yourself. Where am I going to end up at? What am I going to do? You got some ideals, but you're not far on the road there, because you're young. You're just getting started in that. If you have somebody come along now, it could be a problem. Now, a lot of people in our society want to get married at 21, 22, 23, and people just are so immature at that age. It's absolutely, it's not like, you know, Little House on the Prairie where you get married at 15 and you're mature enough to get married. You're going to stay married, you're going to be on the prairie, and everything going to work out. Nowadays, I'm counseling 30-year-olds to act like 19-year-olds. People nowadays are very immature. Now, I'm not saying you're immature, but I'm saying a lot of people out there are immature, and God didn't want to tie you up with one like that. But some of the things we said in the other thing, it is the grace of God that we don't get tight to the wrong person who we're going to accidentally hook up with before we know who we are and where we're going. Right now, your focus should not even be on dating unless you got enough money in the bank, you've been out living on your own, and you're ready to get married. If you're not really there, don't worry about the fact that there's no girl in my life right now. We're not saying can't a girl have friends. Because social needs can be met by friends. But again, like I told the women last night, be careful about, well, I just want a female friend some of the time. No, you want sex. You just don't know you want sex. I know what you want because all men want it. We want what a woman can do for us. No, I'm not trying to get with nobody. I know you have no intentions of doing it. But within you, your flesh, you dress up as... If you have a need for fellowship, that can be met by men or women. If it has been need for fellowship for the opposite sex, what do women have that men don't have? An opposite sex. I want what a woman can do. That's why I'm not really ready to get married yet, Pastor Cooper, but I don't mind dating somebody. When you get ready to get married, and God's not slowing it up, I got no magic time, it's up to you. When you do the things you need to get a woman, I guarantee you somebody will come along. Because in your process to doing what you believe God's leading you to do, and part of that is growing up and preparing a household, God would get you. Because God, I prayed for the woman I would marry, which turned out to be Helen, before I even knew her, when I wasn't even dating. Well, I was dating, but I wasn't with anybody. I pray. I said, Father, I thank you, because I know I'm getting married. Unless Jesus come back, because I ain't living single all my life. That's not me. I don't have that gift. But I said, Father, I thank you for that woman that today she's hearing the word. That just surrounded her. And it became real to me, although I didn't know who I was praying for. Sometimes I knew it wasn't the girl I was dating at the time, but I was praying for the person I would ultimately marry. I prayed the best I could because I didn't know who I would ultimately marry. But I knew I wanted them to be strong. So I was praying from then because I wouldn't marry no kid, somebody not born yet. She was on the earth. Who you're going to marry, unless you're going to marry somebody 23 years younger than you, is on the earth right now. Ain't no new people coming up. God ain't going to. They're here right now. And God knows when the two of you go come together, he knows who you're going to pick. He knows how it's going to work out. He's telling you now how to recognize the one that's going to be a blessing by saying, be ready for. You don't want a man that wants a man that didn't have. You don't want a woman that wants a man that didn't have stuff lined up. Because she is unorganized if she's willing to get with somebody that hadn't got their life planned. And you don't want that. You want higher than that. You don't want to have any of the problems you heard me talk about. Or if you get the marriage tapes, you hear the marriage people have. You don't want to know those problems. But all those problems happen by settling for Mr. or Mrs. Right now instead of waiting for Mr. or Mrs. Right. You don't want right now. You want to work on getting prepared. Now, I know society saying, Jelani, you're 22, 23 years old, man. You know, you need to, you know. What's up, bro? Get yourself a girlfriend. Settle down. Your mama may be saying it. Your daddy may be saying it. People can say all kind of stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is, you will get married when you don't want to get married before you're ready to get married. And I'm not ready to get married if I don't have my, if I cannot tell that girl my plan for life. I had to be able to tell Miss Cook, I'm going into ministry. I'm going to be a preacher. I don't know if I'm going to be a missionary in Africa. I don't know if I'm going to be there. When Pastor Butler said, do you hear what he's telling you? He said, how many kids do you want? I said, I don't want any right now because I don't know where I'm going to be. And if I'm on the backside of the desert in Australia, I don't want no children. If I'm in the boonies of South America or Africa, I don't want no children. I don't want to have to watch out for them and keep up with them and that maybe different environment. I said, I don't know, but I said, Helen, I'm going into ministry and I'm going to serve God. And you've dated me 5 years before we got married. You know that's true. I've gone to Birmingham Bible Institute, Word of Faith Bible School, Rhema before we got married. You knew who I was. I go to University of Michigan. She knew who I was and where I was going. I had total evidence and it hadn't changed. If the location had changed, I couldn't tell her I'd be in Florida. See, so when I took her to the faraway land, she said she'd be with me. She went. But I was able to tell her that. I couldn't promise her how much money I would make. I just said I would die providing for you. Because if you're on the backside of the desert, you may not make that much money. But I said, people eat there. I'll make sure you eat. I'll do whatever it takes. She took me at my word. I stayed on that journey. I told her, I have the word of the Lord. If you stay with me, you will prosper. You'll not lack, nor shall you suffer. She hadn't lacked, nor has she suffered. There's some things more she and I could want, but we haven't lacked. We've never missed a meal. We've never had to do anything like that. I was able to let her know when I got married who I was, where I was going. I was 26. I could not have said that a few years before. Maybe 25, I could have got away with it. But I couldn't say it too many years before that because I was out doing my own thing. I'd have been like, come hook up with me, roll the dice, it's a crapshoot, we'll see where we end up at. And that's not something God would have sent her along. Matter of fact, I dated so many women and couldn't even get with the right woman. Couldn't even give it to the right woman until I was raised in church, got saved at 15, got out of church, was dating all these girls, high school through the time I met Helen at 20, dating all these girls. Man, wasn't nobody doing it. You know, wasn't nobody, and Christian girls, non-Christian girls, just wasn't nothing hitting it. You know, wasn't nothing working. I mean, I was having a good time. The girls, I couldn't even put my finger on what I didn't like about all of them. Just, it wasn't nothing there. It wasn't no magic. Wasn't nothing real. Wasn't nothing there. But then I went to Word of Faith Christian Center, and I got in the Word in 1983. And a week later, I met Helen. A week later, after I went back to church. And I prayed, my friends and I, about four, let me see, James, John, Gerard, Andy, and me. The five of us, we don't drink, but we had some Ossie Spumante that Gerard brought from the hotel. He worked at the hotel. And we toasted to Ossie Spumante that this would be the year that we would find wonderful women. And you know what we found that year? We found God again. Gerard started going back to church. I started going back to church. James started going back to church. John didn't start going back. And I was dating Kim for a minute, and Kim took me to Word of Faith. I was like, whoa, man, I understood what he said. This is real. That was blessing me, the word. I mean, I ain't never heard it like that. I heard preachers, but I was raised at a preaching church, but I ain't heard, that was real. I mean, he had me riveted. I was like, I looked up in the time and just blown by because I was so engrossed in what he was saying, and I was hooked. And then I went there, and then the next week I broke up with Kim, and the next week I met Helen. And I ain't never dated another girl since then. I said, you know what? I wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that all that time that you spent dating was a waste of time in your lifetime?
It was like, pretty much a waste of time. Because, see, if I didn't have all those women, I had more money. I just tell you like it is. You know, it was fun, but I have a whole lot more money. If I'd have listened to my dad and listened to my pastor about preparing, I could have had $500,000 banked right now. See what I'm saying? I wouldn't have been broke when I met Helen. Brother wouldn't have been broke when I met her because I was spending money on women, man. On movies, and I'd buy them gifts, and they'd buy me gifts, and y'all, that kind of mess, man. It was just a lot of money wasted because, see, some of it was good because you learn the type of woman you want to date. Part of the dating process, I started dating when I wasn't ready to get married. And really, a lot of people don't want to see this in America, but you shouldn't date till you're ready to get married because dating is a process that leads to marriage. If you're not ready to get married, stop dating. Just go out with your friends. And they can be friends of both sexes. You can go out in groups. But if you go out more than once with the same girl, something's getting started. And don't deceive yourself. Men and women within the same age group who both can be married to one another, they cannot handle a platonic relationship week after week with the same person. You might be able to handle it fine because you might think she's not that attractive. But you can have no guarantee a switch is not going to flip one day when all of a sudden she likes you and now you're being unfair to her because she thinks we got a relationship. Dog, we've been going out just the two of us for 4 or 5 months. We just been having fun, but both of us started. Say, oh, we just friends. I ain't got nobody now. You ain't got nobody. But sometimes you just want to go out with somebody. So we ain't hugging and kissing, but let's just go out. We just enjoy each other. We have fun. See, you're missing the whole thing. You have fun with her. That's a wonderful person to marry. But, you know, we just went. But it's going to click on one of you. One day it's going to click. And one of you is going to think you got something. It never fails. Men and women who are marrying age with one another, they are together and friends repeatedly because they really like each other. That attraction is going to flick. And she may sit and talk to you about her boyfriends, how wrong they did. You say, oh, but he ain't worthy of you, girl. You too good for him. Let him go. Then she counsel you. That girl don't appreciate you. And you keep going. One of us is going to go, bing. What's wrong with him? Nothing's wrong with him. And one of them is going to start liking it. No matter how platonic you meant it to be, one of you is going to start liking it. Men and women are meant to be together. And you like everything about them. That's why you all like going out, although it's just fun. Don't even play that game. If you are not, if you decide you are not going to marry a girl, don't date her because it's going to flick. Don't date her repeatedly because it's going to flick on and you misled her and you were unfair to her or she misled you. And it was unfair. And it's going to flip. The light's going to come on one day. Now, technically, if they came on for both of you, that would be beautiful because the two of you already have a relationship. You should be friends way before you be lovers. And that gets out the way because we look at what we lust after and we jump right into it. Now, that girl looks good. And as soon as we get it, we start trying to score it. You know, basically. Even though you're a Christian man and you don't think in those terms, your body. Okay, let's put it like this. When you meet her, do you want to put your arm around her after a couple of dates? Do you want to get a kiss? See what I mean? Progression towards sex. And if you stay on that road, it's like a drug. The first time you touch her, whoa, man, that was nice. You touch her again, she touch you. You kiss each other, oh, man, that was wonderful. You're kissing the 999th time. Ain't that big a deal. Now, brother, need a little more of the drug, need a little stronger dose. I want to touch something every guy don't get to touch on you. Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. That's awesome. It's the nature of the flesh to get bored and to want to progress to the next level to keep getting the same excitement. Just like being addicted to heroin or cocaine. That's why there's nobody who's a casual user who stays a casual user. The only difference between an alcoholic and a casual drinker, a dope addict and a casual user is enough pressure in life. When there's enough pressure, if that's what they go to release, and they got a lot of pressure, they're going to keep getting released till they get the physical, emotional addiction to touching a girl and one more. That's why you have young men who have had so many women, they are actually addicted to sex. It messes with them psychological if they don't get a girl's pants. They would do anything. They'll pay for it. They just got to have it. And they can't even think of a woman as a woman. A woman is nothing but a tool to gratify them. And when you get like that, you need help. Because you want a regular functional relationship, but now the program processes and your thinking are to get to the bedroom. And it's hard for you to say, no, I'm not going to touch her. I don't have to touch her. I touch her when we get married. If she qualifies, I don't pink slip her first. You don't be thinking like that. You'll be thinking, oh, I just love you. I hug you. Close you. God didn't mean for us to have any of those kind of pressures. That's why he said, keep your hands off each other. Keep your virgin. Yours and hers. Keep your virgin. Don't pressure. But that's the kind of stuff we do. The kind of things we do. Now, other questions, comments? Anybody got anything? You got something, Mike? You look like you might have a question. Do you have something? All right. Anybody else? Well, they're waving. We're out of time anyway. But we're going to have another question and answer session where I go through some of the questions people gave me. I got yours already, Tyrone, so we'll probably skip that one. I may repeat it quickly for the benefit of everybody. But we'll go over to the next one, guys. Go over to. I appreciate you all coming here because a lot of men don't come to church. They think they can't learn nothing.